Hey there, my name is Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, we all hear all the time there's a chip shortage. You can't get hold of GPUs. It looks like, you know, desktops are hard to get hold of, some electronics, car industry. Everybody's saying there's a chip shortage. Well, if there's a chip shortage, why not just make more chips and end the shortage? Well, it's not as easy as that. But if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So at a recent conference, AMD CEO Dr. Lisa Su said that the chip shortage would come to an end kind of the latter part of 2022. It will still be difficult during the first part of 2022, and then towards the end of 2022, then going into 2023, we're going to kind of see an alleviation of this. Well, that's still another year away from when I'm making this video in October of 2021. That's a whole year away of where there's going to be a shortage of the most important components that power our entire lives. So the first question we have to ask is, why are we in a chip shortage? Well, there are several different things that have happened. Of course, as we all know, we're living through a current global pandemic. And when that pandemic hit, lots of demand went up for electronic components. I remember very clearly, way back, probably more than a year ago now, someone wanted to set up a home, set up for doing working at home because they've been told to stay at home because of the pandemic. And they wanted to buy a webcam. And they said, Gary, which webcam should I buy? So I went and had a look. And the thing was, although there were lots of models displayed, they were all out of stock. Now, of course, that's just a little example. But way back then, webcams were really, really hard to find because there just wasn't the stock to meet the sudden demand. And what's happened is that demand has not died down. So not only are we talking about, you know, webcams and laptops, we're talking about everything that affects kind of electronics in our lives. The demand has remained high. So while kind of supply chains and kind of warehousing and all that can kind of cope with some kind of surge in demand, and that happens, for example, around Christmas time or something like that, you know, more people buy things and the companies know that and they can have the stock available and ready. This demand seems to have kept up high level and not gone back down again. And the other thing about the worldwide pandemic is it has disrupted those very supply chains. So you just imagine, you know, from everything from someone driving a lorry to the chemicals, to the machines, to the packaging, to the scientists, to the workers, to the factory workers, to the engineers, to the raw materials, everything has got affected by this worldwide pandemic. And if you've been in there and they've said, you've got to stay at home, you're not allowed to go to work. And if what you were doing was kind of not seen as essential, you know, you weren't in law enforcement, you weren't in medical, whatever, then they kind of said, no, you've got to stay at home. And that has a knock-on effect in the supply chain. When you get a broken supply chain, it's called a chain because if one part is broken, then the next part can't continue. They are linked together. And so disruption in that chain causes the whole chain to break. Now, I have a video here on this channel talking about how hard it is and how difficult it is to make modern day electronic integrated circuits, chips, as we call them, microprocessors, GPUs, that kind of thing. Because we are dealing here with devices that have billions and billions of transistors on them, and they are very, very, very tiny transistors. And, you know, like a human hair is giant compared to the size of these tiny transistors. And it is a long, complicated and expensive process. In fact, it can take up to 3 months to turn the raw silicon material into that final chip that makes its way into a processor, into a laptop, into a PC, into a GPU, into a graphics card, or whatever. So that's a very, very complicated process and very, very expensive. And I really do recommend that you watch that video. There'll be a link around here somewhere and also in the description below. Now, the thing about these fabrication plants, these factories that build these chips, is they are mega, mega expensive. We're talking billions and billions of dollars. Now, you might say, oh, I make cakes, you know, and I want to buy an extra oven to double my production. Well, great. You're just talking about, you know, a few hundred dollars or something, and you've kind of doubled your production. When you want to build a new fabrication plant, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars. They can't just be built, you know, on a whim. You've got to have the land. You've got to have all the right permits, it's got to have all the right natural infrastructure, you know, it's got to have all the water and everything else you need, electricity that needs to actually have a plant running, and then you actually need to start building it, and the machines that go inside these things are absolutely incredibly complicated and very, very expensive. And so that's why the lead time on one of these factories, one of these fabs, is about 2 years. So if you started planning and saying, right, we're going to build a new one here, by the time you go through that process, even when you're throwing millions and billions of dollars at it in terms of let's get the biggest teams on here, let's get this biggest machinery, let's get the, you know, let's really, really work hard, it still takes, you know, up to 2 years to build one. And if you think about it, if we think about the pandemic, we are kind of in the middle of that two-year process. I mean, it's kind of identified, it's got a 19 in its name, hasn't it? So 2020 started to hit a lot of different countries, and we've kind of, you know, had lockdowns, and here we are a year after that. And then the demand had gone up, and then the factory started, well, we better build some more chips, plants to make these things. So they started, and it isn't going to come, they're not going to come online and ramp up production until the end of 2022. So even with the best will in the world, even with a ton of money behind it, it still takes time to get these things up and running. And that's why the chip shortage is not over yet. Now, as a side story to this, it's also interesting that this kind of global supply chain that we have and this chip manufacturing system that we have on a global scale has shown different weaknesses in the supply chain and different interests from a geopolitical point of view. In fact, if we go back before the pandemic, if you look at Huawei, the moment it got banned by the US administration to have access to certain parts of technology, it did a lot of harm to Huawei in the long and the short term. And the problem is that certainly made the Chinese government say, we need to be more independent. We can't be dependent on the whim of some other government in some other country to say what we can and can't do in terms of our own technology. Now, you may think that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on where you are geopolitically. But some people would say, great, you know, the rise of China will be absolutely fantastic, mainly people in China. And maybe there are other people, maybe in the US or in Europe, might say, well, actually, that's something we've got to think about, because what does that mean from a kind of a world political stage? And for sure, as soon as that ban came in, absolutely definitely the Chinese started looking at things like RISC-V. They started looking at how they can build their own chips. They started to see how they can be kind of, you know, free from the from that connection between one country and another when the flow doesn't work as expected. And then you fast forward that to this pandemic, and you've now got the same thing, but in reverse. You've now got the US and you've got Europe, and they're saying, we're getting all our chips from Asia. Now, how come we're dependent on something on the other side of the world? When that gets disrupted, how do we do it ourselves? How can we build these things ourselves? So the US is looking about how it can fix that supply chain problem, how it can do more manufacturing closer to home. The Europeans are looking at how they can do that. And of course, it's also worth pointing out, because there are some Europeans and some Americans who don't realise this, but there are literally billions and billions of people that don't live in the USA and America, and they also use laptops and PCs and smartphones and everything else. So this really is a worldwide thing. Now, one negative point I'd like to mention about all of this, while I believe that countries should be, you know, independent in, you know, their resources, and there's lots you can study about electricity resources and gas resources and water resources and now technology resources, lots you can study about that. But there is one negative side, and that is that if any of these countries, whether that's China, whether that's the USA, whether that's Europe, whether that's other countries, if they become too inward looking, then you get the rise of nationalism, and nationalism is always the precursor to war. And so one thing we don't want to happen in the breakdown of the global supply chain is for aggression to start, because people become nationalists. Wherever you are in the world, nationalism is exactly the same. It kind of, you know, beats at the drum of the same kind of, you know, base instincts. And that's pretty bad, really. And you don't want that to happen. As Shakespeare said, if you prick me, do I not bleed? I mean, we are all ultimately humans inhabiting the same planet. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this quick video about the chip shortage and why can't we just build more chips and why can't we have them yesterday. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Gary Explains. And also, I have a newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address. You'll get the newsletter, but you won't get any spam. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.